DBHDD is urging people to ask a pharmacist about getting naloxone for their first aid kits at home or work. No prescription is needed. Naloxone can rapidly reverse an opioid overdose and restore breathing. Opioidresponse.info.
Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, a journalist arrested while covering a protest in Atlanta has been placed into ICE custody. A nonprofit saves land near the Okefenokee National Wildlife Refuge from being developed into a titanium mine. And Georgia lawmakers react to the assassination of two Minnesota lawmakers last weekend.
After this kind of hit the airwaves, people started wondering who this person voted for and who they supported. It doesn't matter who he voted for, it doesn't matter who he supported. Violence is violence.
Today is Friday, June 20th. I'm Orlando Montoya, and this is Georgia Today. Immigration officers have taken custody of a Spanish-language journalist arrested on obstruction and unlawful assembly charges while he was covering a weekend protest in Metro Atlanta's DeKalb County. GPB's Pamela Kirkland has more.
A spokesperson for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement confirmed Wednesday that the agency detained Mario Guevara, a Spanish-language journalist, after he spent days in a DeKalb County jail. Guevara will now have to fight deportation proceedings in an immigration court. His attorney says he is in the U.S. legally. Guevara was covering a protest Saturday when he live-streamed video of his arrest. Guevara worked as a journalist in El Salvador before fleeing the country in 2004 and has developed a sizable following on social media as an independent journalist in Atlanta. For GPB News, I'm Pamela Kirkland.
Yesterday was Juneteenth, and across Georgia, the anniversary of the end of slavery in America marched on. Despite this being a fraught time nationally for diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, many celebrations took place last weekend, including in Atlanta, where a music festival took place in Piedmont Park. Yesterday on Tybee Island, near Savannah, scores of people gathered for a wade-in at the beach. The annual event honors black students who, in the 1960s, attempted to desegregate the whites-only beach by wading into the water and being arrested. In Augusta, Juneteenth festival organizers said a few previous festival sponsors ended their sponsorship after company-based DEI changes. The holiday was recognized federally in 2021 and in Georgia the following year. At least one state, West Virginia, has revoked the holiday observance. The National Nonprofit Conservation Fund says it has acquired the site of a proposed titanium mine near Georgia's Okefenokee National Wildlife Refuge. The purchase announced today ends a six-year-long project that united environmentalists and lawmakers in opposition, but until recently seemed on the cusp of gaining state regulatory approval. Rena Ann Peck of the nonprofit Georgia Rivers credits the sale to Conservation Fund donors and the sustained campaign to save the swamp.
No other nature calls in Georgia. State history has had such overwhelming support and achieved such a monumental win. I'm just so relieved and happy, and it's a momentous step.
Peck says the fund paid $60 million for just under 8,000 acres. Scientists had warned that mining so close to the refuge could irreparably harm it. Georgia lawmakers are reacting to the attacks on Minnesota lawmakers last weekend. Former Minnesota House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark were killed Saturday by a gunman impersonating a police officer. Democratic State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette also were shot in their home in a separate incident. Speaking with GPB's Donna Lowry, Augusta State Senator Harold Jones says the violence has rattled lawmakers, and so has the way some people in the public have responded.
Here's one of the things that was troubling to me, is actually after this kind of hit the airwaves, people started wondering who this person voted for and who they supported. Violence, it doesn't matter who he voted for, it doesn't matter who he supported. Violence is violence.
Jones says while the Georgia Capitol is well protected, He'd like to see stronger connections between Capitol Police and local law enforcement. He also says Georgia should consider ways to shield lawmakers' personal information, such as home addresses, from public view. Two Georgia educators will be added to the National Memorial to Fallen Educators in Emporia, Kansas today. GPB's Chase McGee has more.
Christina Iremi and Richard Aspinwall both worked as math teachers at Appalachie High School in Winder. On September 4th of last year, they were killed during a school shooting that also took the lives of two students. Now, they will be honored along with seven other U.S. teachers who died in the service of education. Maddie Fennell is the executive director of the National Teachers Hall of Fame. She says that while every death is tragic, preventable shooting deaths are especially impactful.
I think that makes it even more tragic because we're not doing everything we can do to stop that.
Both teachers will have their names inscribed on large black granite books on campus at Emporia State University. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
The sheriff of Atlanta's Fulton County is suing county leaders, accusing them of interfering with his ability to manage his budget. The lawsuit filed by Sheriff Pat Labatt on Tuesday escalates a battle between the elected sheriff and elected county commissioners. Labatt alleges the commission's purchasing policies illegally limit his ability to address problems at the troubled and aging county jail. Commissioners repeatedly have questioned Labatt's spending, accusing the sheriff of putting the county's finances at risk. Georgia Department of Transportation officials say they've made strides in addressing emergency preparedness. The assessment came Wednesday in a report dealing with agency staff members learned from their response to last year's Hurricane Helene. Assistant State Maintenance Engineer Emily Fish told GDOT board members one key problem was communication, making sure employees were safe and where they needed to be after the storm.
So we've purchased 1,200 new radios that will be distributed to all the districts. We have also purchased satellite phones for when the cellular towers are down, and we have purchased Starlink devices.
She says the agency mobilized more than 2,000 employees, more than half its workforce, to respond to the storm. In Macon, a mental health initiative has launched its second-ever public survey aimed at understanding trauma in the community. The survey asks about adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, which can be the result of violence, abuse, or neglect. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
Adverse childhood experiences are common and can lead to stress and depression if unchecked, according to the CDC. ACE surveys typically rank risk from 1 to 10. Last year's survey from the city-funded Macon Mental Health Matters program found an average score of 4 across 21 zip codes in Bibb County. Program director Andrea Cook says since then they've brought more mental health events to those areas. This year they'll add interviews to the survey.
I'm hopeful that making people more aware of their own ACEs scores and then the greater community's ACEs score will result in people who feel more connected.
Cook says more survey participation this year could also help better direct resources and local funding. The survey closes on July 11th. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
A young swimmer was airlifted to a Savannah hospital on Tuesday after being bitten by a shark. The bite occurred on South Carolina's Hilton Head Island near Georgia's Tybee Island. Shark bites in Georgia are rare. Rachel Cantrell of the Tybee Island Marine Science Center says there only have been 17 unprovoked shark bites in all of Georgia's recorded history.
Sharks are looking for their food in the water, and especially if a school of fish is swimming right by and next to you, and they're just trying to get that fish, sometimes they'll accidentally get a person instead.
A spokesperson for Memorial Health University Medical Center said the hospital could not release information about the minor's condition. But Hilton Head Island Fire and Rescue said the injuries were not life-threatening. Summertime in Georgia brings a number of nuisances: heat, humidity, and biting insects. And add to that Canada geese. GPB's Chase McGee tells us why the birds are so hard to get rid of.
Starting in late June, Canada geese are flightless. They're busy molting feathers they use to migrate across North America.
Kara Nitschke is the state migratory game bird biologist. She says that as a result, you might see more geese hanging around homes and businesses and sometimes being very territorial.
And if they have a nest in a really, you know, inconvenient location where people travel a lot, if there's people coming in and out and there's a nest nearby, then they can really get kind of bullied by these geese. You know, they can hurt you.
People who want to keep geese off their property can try certain techniques, including motion-activated sprinklers, scarecrows, or decoys of predators like coyotes. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
Georgia peaches are being sold in Mexico for the first time in 27 years. State Agriculture Commissioner Tyler Harper said today the shipment of 42,000 pounds of Georgia peaches to Mexico was made possible by new technology that allows the crop to meet the country's strict import requirements. Insurance giant Aflac says it has identified suspicious activity on its network in the U.S. that might impact Social Security numbers and other personal information. The Columbus-based company today called the incident a cybercrime and said that the intrusion was stopped within hours. And tomorrow marks the 50th anniversary of the nonprofit group Atlanta Landmarks taking control of the city's historic Fox Theater, saving the fabulous Fox from being torn down. The campaign to save the architecturally stunning 1929 theater became a watershed moment for Georgia historic preservation. Theater president and CEO Alan Vella spoke with GPB about the campaign in 2019.
I think that the city and the citizens realized that so many great historic properties had been torn down, especially theaters like the Lowe's, the Rialto, the Grand, and many others. And I think they finally put a stake in the ground and said, stop, we need to preserve some of these facilities.
And you can learn more about the theater and its history by watching the GPB documentary, The Legend Lives On, Atlanta's Fox Theater, at gpb.org. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. If you haven't yet hit subscribe on this podcast, take a moment to do that now. It helps you to keep us current in your feed. If you have feedback, send that to us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya. I hope you have a great weekend.
When a massive chemical fire erupted at the biolab facility in Conyers, thick smoke filled the air, forcing evacuations. But for many, it wasn't the first time, and it wouldn't be the last. I'm Pamela Kirkland. In GPB's new podcast, Manufacturing Danger, The Biolab Story, I investigate what caused the fire, the response, and what it means for Conyers residents today. Listen at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.